Okie doke, how are you all feeling out there? Hope you are well. It is time for That's Entertainment. And in studio with me with Michael Letty. Hiya, Michael.
Hello, Greg.
And he's adjoined, or to sitting to his left, Fionnuala Rabbit. Hi, Fionnuala.
Hi.
How are you all getting on?
Good.
Great.
Very None good. Of you down in Dublin for the weekend?
No.
Oh. There's lots going on.
Yeah, there's, you know, no.
Not interested in Taylor Swift?
No.
I don't, her influence on the world.
I remember our demographics has changed somewhat. The children are off school, might be listening in the background, so tread very carefully.
No,
the Swifties could be listening.
I know, and they do take revenge.
Yes.
From what I've seen. Do you know why I'm going to offer is because, first of all, I did try to get tickets and I was...
Well, that's just bitter.
Sick, I know. For the three concerts, I was 60,000 in a queue for an arena that only holds about 55, so I don't know how that worked out. And every day I get a phone call from another mother crying down the phone because their teenage or almost teenage daughter is no longer speaking to them because everybody's going
it's
except them.
So much pressure on parents because you know what,
and the
whether it's right or wrong,
crazy.
Whether it's right or wrong, we want to do our best for our young people, don't we? But the tickets are like hen's teeth.
But not only that, like you cannot get a ticket. Like if you think about it now, if you're bringing a 12, 13, 14 year old, which in fairness is her big demographic, they're not allowed on the pitch. Rightly, you know what I mean? It's an area that you can be crushed or you
All right, yeah.
So you can't bring anybody under the age of 16 onto a pitch. So you have to get a seated ticket, which means that you are not paying less than about 170, 180. And that's for the original. That's not when you're buying them, you know, the way off somebody
yes,
else who's
yeah.
got somebody else. Like how, when have we reached the point where we don't bat an eye at paying a couple of hundred euros to bring somebody under the age of 10 to a concert? It's amazing, isn't it?
It's such an image. Like, show me an image of Ireland about to go bust again. and it seems to be this. Do you know what I mean? We seem to be spending again beyond our means. But for many That's people, amazing. This is the communion money, the confirmation money, or it's saved up and money's put aside.
I hasten to add, I've done it for nieces and nephews. I mean, I had an eight-year-old that was at Pink last week and her mind is still trying to
I had a 38-year-old at Pink.
It was so
A friend of mine was at it and loved it. I love Pink.
I enjoyed the experience, but, you know, I would just like her to get on the ground and sing a couple of songs. I didn't go to watch Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah.
Oh, I like
you
that
know
when
what
it
I mean?
Comes. Oh, you see, I don't. I prefer if I'm going to pay.
You know,
just get on the ground and sing a song.
Just get on the ground.
If I'm going to pay
then
a couple
give me
hundred
a reason.
Euros, if I'm going to pay a couple hundred euros, I want Cirque du Soleil. I remember I went to see Bob Dylan, and
was he swinging on a big swing?
No, he was on stage, just him and the band.
He was just folding it in.
We were four songs in, and then we went. Oh, God, yeah, that's not Bob Dylan. That's him over there to the left. We were looking at the wrong person the whole time because Bob Dylan was not in centre stage. He wasn't centre stage.
And, look,
and I was like,
look, as I say, Pink,
if I'm paying money,
Pink
I want it to
great,
be a show.
But it's a performance, though, you see. It's not a,
yes.
it's not a concert.
Oh, it's so is Taylor. Taylor Swift.
They're putting on a show. They're putting on a show.
She's
yeah.
there. She's singing, right? You know.
Well, she does
Pink,
about 15
Pink's
costume
swinging
changes.
Swinging around the poodles.
Taylor Swift.
All right, okay, well, that's fine. But Pink's just swinging
changes.
Around the place.
Yeah,
and is it her singing? I don't know. But I, as I say, I had a fantastic time and I felt really blessed to be there.
Just get on the ground and sing
a song.
I think
she needs to switch it up a little bit, the backflips.
Oh, I love the guy that bounces off the steps and bounces back up again. I could watch him forever.
Anyway, what did you think? Did you go to Pink? Are you going to... I was going to say, why?
And if you have Taylor Swift tickets, I do have people who are begging me for them, and please call straight away.
I know. And some really, genuinely moving stories as to why they're important. But look at everyone. Enjoy yourselves. Let us know if you're going, if you're the biggest Taylor Swift fan ever. Educate three dinosaurs here and tell us why. What's the attraction? You can come on, sing us a Taylor Swift song. We don't care. Celebrate. Shania Twain, though, that's more your wheelhouse.
Yes. No, I love
Shania.
I'm not going to profile you like that. I wouldn't get away.
I'd be a big Shania Twain fan back in the day.
She's okay. I like American country. She wouldn't be on my top 20 American country singers, but she is very good, but there are others ahead of her, like Mary Chapin Carpenter, Trisha Yearwood, Martina McBride, Shelley Wright. There's a lot of that I would put ahead of her, but she's very good.
Yeah.
I saw Celine years ago. Not Celine, sorry.
We're going to talk about Celine.
Yeah, I saw Shania Twain years ago.
Where, in Tesco?
No. I've been to numerous concerts.
Oh, I even saw in Dublin Airport.
In fairness, I even saw Whitney.
Yeah, but you've seen some amazing. We can't go down that again.
We've heard, yeah.
You know, but it's just the pure envy. And you seem to manage to nab them just before they move on to their eternal reward.
Yes, that was one of the things.
That is actually, because I have to say, that's the reason why I go. Because I always wanted to see Barry White, the Walrus of Love.
Well, if I was ever performing on stage and you come walking in,
I'm
going to start to worry.
100%. Yeah. Because that's what happened. We missed Barry White, Walrus of Love, and he passed away shortly afterwards, so we went, never again.
Yeah, but listen, if you love live music, there's just so much coming up. And there was some concern that some of these big artists weren't going to come to Dublin because of insurance and all this kind of stuff, but they are. And then, of course, there's the four quarterfinals, which I'm going to put my slippers on and sit and watch the GEA. So that's what I'm looking forward to at the weekend. There's a bit of boxing on as well. And the great weekend of sport, actually, because the Euros are starting to get to the knockout stages as well. So that's what I will be doing. But let us know what you're doing. 086 60 25,000. Right. I was of the view with the way Celine Dion's health declined, Fionnuala, that was sort of a one way that it was a one way traffic. If you know what I mean, I thought, oh, right, there's going to be a period of time, and then we're going to hear bad news about her. You know, about how her condition has progressed and what have you.
Yeah. I fear you might be right.
Okay, well, that's all part of this documentary that's been put together on Amazon. I've seen the trails for it. I haven't really watched it yet. So talk to us about what happened to her and what the documentary tells us.
Well, I've seen Celine Dion in concert. I'm a big fan of hers. Saw her in Dublin many, many years ago. Was always a big fan of hers. And her husband, Rene, he was here at the concert as well. And most people would know that in 2016, her husband passed away and she took some time off work. And then when she came back to work, she wasn't long back doing concerts. And there was a big plan then in 2021 that she was going to do Vegas, as they do when they do a residency now.
Yes.
And they kind of go there for like 6 months or a year or whatever. And it was a big plan and everybody was very excited about seeing her again. And in the end, then she had to cancel. And as she says herself, she felt at that point that she had to let people know the reason behind her cancelling, because there had been a few bits that she'd cancelled along the way, but not many. And the reason behind her cancelling was that she was diagnosed just almost two decades ago with stiff person syndrome. It's like one in a million people or something like that. It's an extremely rare condition.
Is it progressive?
They never specifically say that, but it does not seem to be improved. You know what I mean?
Right, okay.
What happens, I didn't really know a lot about it. And you know, sometimes when they come out with stuff and they say, oh, it's a rare thing, God forgive me, but I'm so cynical. I'm like, you know, you'd nearly be rolling your eyes at it and kind of thinking, oh, what is stiff person syndrome? Yeah. I'd never heard of it before. But after this documentary, I went into this documentary quite innocently, knowing that she'd been unwell, but kind of assuming that this was her getting better now.
That's exactly my
Do you know what I mean? And sort
preface,
of feeling
yeah.
that this is brilliant. Celine is going to be back on track. And she's, because not knowing that she'd had this condition for decades, I thought it was something that's just come up, say, since 2021 when she announced it. This documentary is, it's quite harrowing now. It does say it's like 15 or 16. I'm not sure when I'd be sitting down watching it, even with the kids kind of running around you, because I don't even know, even if anybody watched the Michael J. Fox documentary. Michael J. Fox is a big proponent, you know, he has Parkinson's disease, and he does allow people to see the impact that the disease has had on his body. And it is difficult to watch when you see, you know, the movements that his body makes when he when the medication is wearing off. You know, when he did the documentary still, it was very open. He is in the halfpenny place compared to how open Celine Dion is with this. It's just in it. It's her, you know, she's become very reclusive now at home. She has this, with this stiff person syndrome, what happens is that she's on huge amounts of medication in order to counteract it. Her whole body spasms and stiffens up, and her rib cage contracts and tries to nearly suffocate herself. And in the documentary, they actually, during the documentary, she has a seizure, and it is all filmed right up to where the when the paramedics come, and you can tell, like, through it, the amount of pain and the upset and the terrible thing that is happening. All of this then is obviously impacting her mental health. Her children appear in it. She's at no point does she have any makeup on. At no point is she, you know, even when they're sitting down one to one, she's, you know, very open. There's, you know, you think even
so. The motivation for this obviously then is to educate, because as you said at the beginning, you know, and as I said, clearly I don't have a great understanding of it, and you went in a wee bit sort of with a lot to learn.
Yes.
So she's obviously trying to get the word out there about this condition and its impact on her.
I think, and it's also, now, I really enjoyed is a strange document, because alongside of all this, then they show clips of her being interviewed in the past. They have clips of her singing. There's talk about how much music means to her. You see her with her children, in particular her youngest children, who are young teenagers. It's very difficult to know exactly what it is that you want. I'd say, yes, part of it is to let people know that this is the reality and this is why she's not out there. Because as she says at one point, she says, you know, sometimes people, she's cancelled things and people have bought tickets and they're disappointed. And then they see something on social media, which is her with their family. And they're like, she's having a nice moment with them. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, well, why, you know, why didn't she do her concert? And it's, nothing is real and it's all... So I think part of it was that, was to kind of like give that something back to the, you know, to give something to the fans to say, look, this is my reality. The terrible thought, which again, maybe it's just me, is that this is her having the ability while she still can to tell her own story. Okay. It's, she does not look well.
Yeah.
And it does look, as somebody who's not anyway medical, you know what I mean, knows nothing about this. But it's impacting
she's
her.
She's deteriorating.
She does appear to be, from what I've seen her in other things. You know, I mean, she's always been very slender. She's always been too thin, really. But she just looks. She looks a little bit of a shadow of the woman that to my mind.
Does she
when
talk
I think
at all about ever performing again?
Oh, yeah, she talks about wanting to.
Yeah.
And she's in it. She is trying to record stuff, but the impact of the illness has had on her body and her muscle has also...
And her ability to inhale, presumably.
The way this thing is, because what it is this illness is, and again, I am very much paraphrasing, it's like an autoimmune disease, mm-hmm. which someday we got to start looking into how we're all getting these autoimmune diseases, and we used to never hear them before, but it's an autoimmune disease which attacks the nervous system. And it attacks the nervous system by causing contractions, which in turn then bring on these kind of seizures. And that then obviously has a negative impact on her ability to sing, you know, her lungs, her vocal cords, everything like that is all connected to it. So,
okay. It's one of those, I think you probably need to be a certain character or in a certain space to watch it, because you're not coming out of it full of hope.
No, but her bravery and her honesty and that, you know what I mean, and her openness, like, you know, she talks about, you know, the grief that she had. I mean, like, Celine Dion has been on stage, as far as I remember, since she was about 13.
Yeah, and the span of her career, her looks belie that to some extent, because, I mean, obviously this condition is having its impact, but she's ever youthful
I mean, like, she's almost over 40 years now. I think she was 13 or so when she went on like a Canadian talent show, and her then husband around that time met her, and
you would suggest people watch it.
I do think it is worth.
Amazon,
I think
it,
I do think, yeah, it's on Amazon. I do think it is a significant thing to watch. You will, you know, as I said, I wouldn't necessarily be watching it with your kids, because there is medical. You will see her having, you know,
there'll be lots of questions, I would say.
And you do actually see her, you know, in pain. You do see her, as I said, in the throes of a seizure. So I do think it could be difficult, you know, for kids and to see it and that kind of thing, and know that that's what it is. There is warnings going in, but it is quite difficult. But I have to say, my admiration for her, which was always there for her immense talent, but her as a person is I think she's just phenomenal. Brilliant. After watching
okay.
it. So.
Excellent. Okay, it's one of those. It's for you or not for you, I think. And maybe yeah. you have to push yourself, challenge yourself to watch it maybe as well. Okay, that's I Am Celine Dion. It's on Amazon and it chronicles her... her stiff person syndrome, as it's known, I presume it's got a more medical name than that, but that's sort of what it's known as to sort of make it more understandable and relatable. Okay, back with more, including our next review with Michael, but we'll be going to John MacArthur after this quick break. Let's go to Loughswilly Lifeboat Fundraiser. It's the RNLI and John MacArthur's with us. Hiya, John. How are you getting on?
I'm pretty good, Greg. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. All looking forward to Sunday, the 30th of June. Two events in Remelton, one in Farn. Tell us what's happening.
Well, they just happened to fall on this one weekend, which is proving to be a very big fundraising weekend for the RNLI, which is which I thought would be worth highlighting with you, Greg, because it really is well into the sort of summer season. Though there's not much summer weather yet. And lots of people are taken to the water, and consequently our crews are becoming quite busy looking after their safety, etc. And fortunately, there's a lot of people out there who run fundraising events for us, because no matter how many times I think we say it, we only exist at the generosity of the general public. There's no magical funder in behind us.
And normally it's when you say that, John, I also point out that you are... an emergency and treated as an emergency service that relies on public donations, yeah. which I think is quite remarkable. Remelton, there's an open garden event at 2 p.m. and there's a tractor run by Philly Blaney around the Remelton area on Sunday morning at 12 p.m. Two nice, different, fun events. You can go to both of them by the looks yeah. of the timings there.
Lovely events, and it's a group of people that put these together. I mean, Billy and Margaret Blaney and James put this under the Donegal Vintage Club, run this vintage car and tractor run every year, partly in the aid of the RNLI, and I think it's care of the aged as well this year. And these folks really put lots of effort into putting the keeping and maintaining these vehicles, bring them out on show, and create a very fun event for everybody to take part in, and raise funds for two very valuable charities.
Indeed, and we also, down in Mullins Soul, used to have a blessing of the boats, and it used to be tied into a fun day. I'm not sure if it still goes on. I don't recall the last time it was on, but I do recall being a part of it, and it's lovely, actually. It really is a fantastic day, and that is happening in Farn Marina on Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m.
That's right. This is an event that began last year in Fawn Marina with a guy called Gary McLaughlin, who's behind it. And Gary has put together a great day last year where the boats were all blessed, first of all. But following that, there's open-air concerts. It's the David Craig Band again, John Dolan and the Cuff are there, the Inch Ramblers, Hugh McMonagall. It is a great run of entertainment, raffles, etc. And again, it's all in aid of the Loughswilly RNLI. And the last year it was a fantastically well-supported day, and it's gone all out again to
Brilliant.
Have another one.
So if you're in Remelton at 2 p.m., there's an open garden event. There's also at 12 p.m., that's 12 noon, a tractor run by Philly Blaney, and a fun day and blessing of the boats in Farn Marina at 3 p.m. on Sunday. Yeah. And listen, as you say, the RNLI requires public support. It's the only form of fundraising. Yeah. They operate voluntarily or on voluntary donations, and all the time needing to maintain and update equipment to keep us safe when we're out enjoying our beautiful waters, John.
Exactly.
Okay.
And I mean, as you mentioned there, that the open garden event, it's Mayor and Claire Hutton. This is their year opening their garden to the public there. And it's a lovely event as well. It's a very, very serene sort of event where there's a lovely garden to have a look at. And there's a great team of people there putting afternoon tea and with lots of goodies out. For their benefit.
John MacArthur, I do have to move on. We've loads to get through. Have a fantastic weekend. You and your teams keep up the great work. Thank you very much indeed. I want to give a wee plug to Letterkenny Reunion, celebrating the 30th anniversary of the first reunion in 1991. It was delayed until this year because of COVID. Committee working away to ensure all in place for the 4th to the 7th of August, a festival of fun, music and laughter for all the family, time to catch up with old and not so old friends. That comes in from Kathleen Ferry O'Doherty. Kathleen, remind me a little closer to the time as well, and I'll give that a further plug. Bit random here from Michael Leddy, but you know what? Smokey and the Bandit 2, ITV4. So if you want to watch a crappy old film that's a sequel and 55 minutes of ads an hour, this is the film for you. When's it on?
Well, from the nostalgia and also as an excuse to chat about it, I thought I'd pick this one out. Plus, I had seen nothing this week. Smokey and the Bandit 2 is on tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. And I saw it, and I saw the title, and I thought back in the 80s when, you know, Burt Reynolds was cool to teenagers and you wanted to watch these things, and they'd always show up at Christmas, particularly the first one, on either ITV or RTE. A lot of happy memories. And that was the time of shows like The Dukes of Hazzard. You know, they were all inspired by Smokey and the Bandit. See, Reynolds was like the number one movie box office star of the 1970s with a lot of credible hits. And then he just decided that he just wanted to have fun on set. So he started doing things like Cannonball Run and the Smokey and the Bandit films, and his career kind of went down until he kind of redeemed himself a little bit in the later years with TV, Evening Shade, and B.L. Striker, the cop show, and then he came back in his later years as sort of a character actor. But this is the second one, and yeah, it's not a great film, but if you were a certain age, then you would have loved it. This is the one with the elephant. The second one is the one with the elephant.
Oh, that one?
Yes.
What the hell's he on about?
Like Smokey and the
Smokey and the Bandits were good fun.
I loved it. Sure, I loved. I did love the car. I loved the car.
Of course,
old American cars. Yeah. Probably was born from that. I want before I die an old Dodge or.
You want some of those cars?
Oh,
those iconic, the iconic sort of the iconic.
That would be my dream car.
The thing about the movies,
to move it down your driveway,
and then
you
have daddies out there.
I know, and if you drive it down your driveway, you need to refill the tank.
Yes,
straight away. Yeah, they're not.
You have two tanks.
They look good, but they're not very practical. Yeah.
Not environmentally friendly.
Awesome. They were the movies were on so much. I mean, there's only two good. Like there was a third one without Burt Reynolds, which. I even I don't like, but I like the first two. You know, I like the silliness of it, you know, and it suited them. I'm looking at it through the lens of somebody who's 12 years old, and I look at a lot of things through the lens of someone who's 12 years old, even things that I'm seeing now, but I particularly look at this through that particular lens. And at that time I did like Burt Reynolds a lot. Looking back at the movies is interesting because, like, when you look at whose career. Sally Field's career has, you know, been a much, like, she really blossomed into some very serious dramatic roles and comedy roles, and she's done, she had the longevity that he didn't have. But he didn't seem to care. He just wanted to have fun with his mates, and that's why we got Smokey and the Bandit 2, and that's why we got Cannonball Run.
And it's
2.
On ITV4.
It's on tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, and then it's on getting a late night repeat as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know. So you can watch it twice.
Madge Toy, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
This is Greg Hughes, and we're going to plug your event. How are you getting on, Madge?
I'm getting on grand, yeah.
Right, I hear the legendary toy charity Barn Dance is back Saturday, 8 p.m. at John Toy's Farm, Manor Cunningham.
Tomorrow night.
Right, what's on? Tell us what's on.
Sorry?
Tell us all about it, Madge.
Oh, well, I'll tell you all about it. Well, we don't run it every year, and it sort of stopped there over the COVID time, and every couple of years, and it's always run for charity, different charities mostly every year. It's a great community effort, great community spirit here, where we live here outside Manor Cunningham, and all the communities get involved.
And I'll tell you, Madge, you've got a fantastic lineup from 8 p.m. tomorrow night. You've got Sinead Black there, David James Band, the David Craig Band. So that's fantastic entertainment. And each year that it runs, the Toy Charity Barn Dance raises funds for several charities and has been great in doing so up until now. But this year, the beneficiaries are the Alzheimer's Society, Dromahol Chapel Fund, Convoy Parish Church, Convoy Presbyterian Church, Donegal Domestic Violence and Rape Crisis Centre. So what a fantastic lineup for a great cause, Madge.
It is. And usually we've been always very lucky that it's been very, very well supported, regardless as to what charities it is. And the community get behind us. and without their help, without the help of the volunteers and donations and family as well, of course, it wouldn't be possible really, because at the end of the day we're a barn, a shed, kettle there. Have to be got out, the sheds have to be all power washed, cleaned out, and everywhere clean and made safe and safety as our paramount, as of paramount importance, the safety of all the people that will come in there and the people.
Imagine, you know, there another event
well,
tonight.
Or in the run up to the barn dance, there's a lot of traffic, yes, and there's children, and you know, it is. But anyway, it goes well. And listen, I always enjoy it better after it's over, because you have that wee bit of worry, like, beforehand. But
it'll be all right in the night.
Hoping everything goes all right. So,
Madge, is there an event on tonight for the young ones? Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, it's on the night now. There's a special night, and that's on for the children. And that is free of charge. That's completely booked out now.
Oh.
And that's a fun night for the children, because the children see their parents and talking about this great night they had at the barn dance, and they feel left out. And with my daughter-in-law, Colleen, felt that it would be nice that they would sort of get a taste, get a flavour of what's happening first, so that then if they're having babysitters the next night, then when adults are there, they're quite happy they've had their night out.
Exactly,
so
yeah,
that goes very well.
Okay.
Now, and the children do love it.
Listen,
fun,
I have to move on, Madge.
Listen,
a fantastic night of entertainment. Obviously, Sinead Black, David James Band, the Craig David, David Craig Band, of course. Funding raising for the Alzheimer's Society, Drumahol Chapel Fund, Convoy Parish Church, Convoy Presbyterian Church, Donegal Domestic Violence and Rape Crisis Centre. Not the first rodeo, pun intended. €112,000 has already been raised for charities in the three previous events. €55,000 was raised at the 2022 barn dance. Over 2,000 in attendance. So listen, get your tickets now. Go to the Toy Charity Barn Dance Facebook page. Madge, you played a blinder. Thank you.
Yes.
Bye-bye. All right, now, one other thing happening in Monaghanim, which I should mention. Lagenhart, have you seen this hour sort of changed into something else now? Which is great. Lagenharps, yeah, are reopening Orchard Park, Monaghanim, this Sunday with a Lagenharp Select playing Finn Harps under-20s at 2 p.m, a full weekend of football. Could you please mention on your show? Of course, that comes in from Damien from Lagenharps. Absolutely more than happy to support. So I watched three things.
Mm.
How to Rob a Bank on Netflix is good.
Oh,
it's good. Yep. There's a lot of crap documentaries on Netflix,
yeah,
but it's quite good. It's a good story.
Oh, no.
So watch that, How to Rob a Bank. The Hitman, don't know what I watched that on. It was just on the telly.
Oh, it's on Netflix.
Is it? Okay, I watched it on Netflix then.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Yes. Is it worth watching?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, okay.
It's probably 25 minutes too long.
Right. Is he good? I like him.
He's
getting
like
great reports.
But he comes
from
in.
And I I saw that actually.
Well, then you would know. He starts off sort of. He starts off kind of like a nerdy, bumbling teacher, and then sort of inexplicably, he's a fantastic undercover person. But maybe that's just his skill set. Mm. But it's,
well, it's based
Jason
on a
Bourne
true
thing,
story.
Is it?
Well, that doesn't make it so.
No, but it is. No, sorry. It is, the person is true. The story in the movie,
of course,
is not true.
But do you see his transition from sort of being, you know,
100%? But actually, have you looked up, because you know me,
but is
I
that
can't,
the skill set? Is it like Jason Bourne?
I think it might be.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
No, I would say not, because it's a little bit different. What happened
See how I did my kung fu moves there too?
I know. In the actual real life story, there was this gentleman, and he was a teacher. But he also used to do some work, part-time work for the local police, yeah, department, like in like a small, now America small, you know what I mean?
Yeah, small.
He'd go in and pretend to be a hitman.
50,000 things.
Okay.
So then what they would do is they would
put
like
a... There was a Rockford Files episode where Angel did that, but anyway.
Yeah,
great
so
episode.
Like if you decided that you wanted to kill me, you would then go and you would have a meeting. And
I'd pretend to be a hitman,
yeah,
and get you to say
to
how
admit.
You wanted me to take her out, get money off you, then you'll...
Yeah.
Then you're nabbed for doing it.
East
but
Coast
apparently it was
gorgeous.
Beautiful. Apparently there was a real life person that did this.
Mm.
And when they read, and he retired, and he'd nabbed something like 70 potential, I suppose. Now, yeah, there's a question as to whether or not the fact that he was meeting them and talking to them, was he talking them more into But there was apparently the real life person was about 70 people that they actually brought to court over it, and that's kind of where the basis of this goes, and then they just go a little bit daft with it.
And it's entertaining.
It looks, it sounds
twisty.
Good.
It's
I want to see
twisty.
It.
It feels a bit long.
I liked the movie. He did that rom com with Sydney Sweeney, and I thought, I thought he was really good in it. I thought he was really, really good. I'd like to see
him.
It's
a black comedy. Yeah. I didn't find any humorous entertainment, but I thought it was fine. Do you know when you switch something on and 2 hours later it's over and you go, "Ah, that's all right."
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I thought the same thing of it when I watched
it. A glowing review.
But I couldn't. I was not 100% sure where the glowing reviews were coming from. I was like, it was perfectly entertaining. It was perfectly fine to sit down and watch.
Will you watch Hitman 2?
Well, I don't think I wouldn't go, I have to watch Hitman, but then I probably would actually. Do you know?
Yeah. Good.
I swear I didn't know if it was for children or not until they started swearing in it. You know what I mean? It was kind of like that. It's a bit hammy and stuff, but it's a perfectly nice film for a couple, or if you're on your own,
it does the job it set out.
Friday or Saturday night.
Does the job it sets out to do. Exactly. I think I know what you mean. Yeah, it seemed like that to me.
You're not going to walk away from it going, "Oh God."
Yeah,
and you're not going to. It gives you a beginning, a middle, and probably the end you're looking for.
Yeah. Okay.
So that was it, man. Another absolute stinker. Oh. Blackwater Lane. Again, I don't know what I watched that on. It was just come up on the telly. It's terrible.
What's that?
It's just really. I can't even describe it. It's like
it's a film. It's a scripted thing, is it?
You know, it's a film. A woman. It's a woman in England, or American woman. I don't know where she's from. She's driving home. She sees a car. She goes back to her massive mansion. There's a woman dead in the car. Then she thinks there could be a ghost in the house.
Wow, that's a mixed bag.
It is very mixed. And lots of stuff happens. Half of it's explained, and you kind of know what's happening about halfway through Blackwater Lane. If any of you's come across it, bring it up, because I'd be very interested to chat to another human who watched it. Right, okay. Going to take a quick break. Back with more from Michael and Fionnuala after these. So we learned in the last week or so that Taylor Swift is in fact a Derry girl, the Irish Immigration Museum CEO. Eilidh Carew has said, speaking publicly, she said that the great-great-great-granddaughter of the multi-Grammy Award winner left Ireland in the US in the 1830s. Fiona O'Mahony is head of the Irish Family History Centre. Good morning to you, Fiona.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm doing good. So, you know, one thing, you know, we have a history in the past of sort of trying to make tenuous links to people because it's good, you know, and then we open a service station and all that kind of stuff, right? But this is a genuine connection that Taylor Swift has to the Northwest. Is that correct?
Absolutely. It's not tenuous at all. It is absolutely true. We did the research in conjunction with our partners, Epic, the Irish Immigration Museum. So us at the Irish Family History Centre, when we started looking, and her two times great grandmother, Mary Gwynne, married a Douglas. And it's her parents, Frances Gwynne and Sarah Davies, that we then started looking into. And when we looked into them, we discovered a manifest of a boat leaving from Derry in 1836 on the 15th of June, so 188 years ago. Two 21-year-olds, she was a dressmaker, he was a weaver, and they met on board and presumably fell in love on board the ship. And that's why we're calling it the love story before love story. And they sailed to Philadelphia. They were on board for 2 months. And then they got married, quite a long courtship. They got married 3 years later in Philadelphia and set themselves up. He ended up setting up a soap manufacturing business and was very successful. We know in 1870 he owned about $18,000 worth of property. So there is a strain of entrepreneurial good business skills that obviously have come down to their great-great-great-great-granddaughter.
So the emigrating couple's daughter, Mary Gwynne, is Taylor Swift's great-great-grandmother.
Yes, that's right.
So it couldn't be any clearer than that. I looked around a wee bit and couldn't see any reference from Ms. Swift to her Irish heritage. So perhaps if the news reaches her, it will be news to her.
It should be news to her. She actually does have an Irish connection on the other side. Her great-great-grandfather, George Finlay, was born in Phibsborough in Dublin. And that is kind of reasonably well known. But this side, we don't believe that she knows about. So there has been some beautiful artwork done by an artist, Lynn O'Neill, and on the looking at the love story, and we're hoping that we have that done and framed, and are hoping to get that to her.
Wonderful. And it's probable, if she does hear about it, that she'll actually reference it during her concerts, because that's what these artists tend to do. Fiona, before I let you go, are you a Swiftie? What?
I'm not of that generation as such. Yeah, I know some of her songs, and I'll pop along in the kitchen.
Absolutely. We know some of her songs.
But right. I must admit, the more I have discovered about her in doing this research and starting to look more in depth, she's always impressed me as a woman and as a businesswoman and everything like that. But her powers of storytelling and lyrics are quite phenomenal.
Indeed.
I have to say.
Indeed, exactly. Though you wouldn't want to go out with her, or else you could become the feature of the next album. But that's not a problem either. Take care. Thank you, Fiona O'Mahony, head of the Irish Family History Centre. We might finish off with a bit of a song. So should it be Jimmy's Winning Matches from Rory Gallagher, or should it be a Taylor Swift song? Well, I just want to see what our demographic is today. Taylor Swift, Taylor Swift ahead of her concerts, or Rory Gallagher singing Jimmy's Winning Matches ahead of the quarterfinal on Sunday. Text 086 60 25,000.
I'm sure the Jane Lawrence could capture that. That's a bit of a two ends of the spectrum.
Exactly. Yeah, of course. All right, listen, are you texting in, Michael? right, okay. Let me see.
The theme was a third option, but it's not.
No, I think I have a WhatsApp here. One second now. Let me see. Should have had all this opened. It's all right embracing all of this technology until you have to start using it. Someone's texted in on WhatsApp. Let's see what they have to say. I think there might be a Taylor Swift fan. Here we are.
Hi, my name's Zara. I'm going to the Eras Tour Dublin Night 1. And I'm going as Reputation. I have a black skirt and it has sparkles on it. I have my top represents newspaper cutouts. I have gems in my hair and my hair is curled, and I have black cowboy boots. And to top it all off, I really wanted to get the Tony T hat.
All right. Well, Zara, you are... Is it Sarah or Zara? Zara, so you are going to look absolutely fabulous, no doubt about that. And I'm sure she's been fashioning the friendship bracelets as well for the last while. If you're a Taylor Swift fan and you're heading to the Eras Tour, WhatsApp a voice message to us, 08660 25,000, and let us know. If you're looking for the biggest of Swifties in Donegal, how's this for starters? Two of our daughters have already seen Taylor Swift in Liverpool. All three are going to Croke Park, and then all three are going to Poland to see her as well. So that's 8 concerts between the three of them. Shout out to Mairead, Fionnuala and Aisling from Chrysler. That comes in from Mum and Dad. Wow, Liverpool, wow. Croke Park and Poland.
Wow, that is impressive.
And we need to find out how they book tickets, because you used to be good. Fionnuala, but you're crap now.
I know. I remember the first time Garth Brooks was coming, and I had 37 tickets bought for it, for everybody I knew. And now I'm 60,000 in a queue for Taylor Swift. I think
you're still in the queue. I admire you for hanging on. I admire your determination.
I think less of myself.
But really, I think it's time to close the browser window.
I know.
You keeping that tab open, eh?
For the last year, yeah. On the off chance.
Just want to refresh it in case she loses her space.
F5.
Exactly. On the off chance that one comes up.
All right, okay. Listen, we're asking, should we finish with Taylor or Jimmy's Winning Matches? I'm not going to lie to you, Taylor's winning at the moment. So if you want Jimmy's Winning Matches ahead of the quarterfinal on Sunday, we've got Donegal playing, of course. And then after that, Derry, Kerry, both in Croke Park. How exciting.
Mm.
That'd be a day for the high stool if you were... 10 years younger.
When's Galway in Dublin, Payne? That's
Saturday. That's on GAA.
Is Galway going to win that? There is a chance.
There is a chance. There is a chance. There's always a chance. And I think there's as good a chance in that game as any. Yeah. So I would, if I were a betting person, I would say possibly. Right, okay, so what is going on here with this list? I'm trying to find something that I might end up watching, because I want to hear what you have to say about something I might. How selfish is that?
Well, I don't know about that now, but the only thing I wanted to just let people know was, because I am kind of half looking forward to it when it popped up, is the new Beverly Hills Cop is coming out on the 3rd of... the nostalgia thing that you were talking about.
Netflix.
No, it's Netflix.
Oh, I saw the... Okay, that's Netflix, right. That makes sense then.
Yeah. Trailer looks really good.
It really does.
Trailer looks good.
Because it was when you were talking about Cannonball Run. Yeah. The Beverly Hills Cop movies were, again, not as old as Cannonball Run, but the 80s, and they were just awesome at the time. They had everything. They had the humour. They had, you know... very little, but a couple of bad words in it, so you're very excited about it. And they had, you know, the good guys, the bad guys, the bumbling cops. It really was when Eddie Murphy was at his peak.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I need to do is revisit that? Because when I was younger, he annoyed me or something, but I'm a completely different person now. Do you know what I mean? The wisecracking stuff. I might actually go
the
back
first
and
one
sort
is
of
a,
see.
I watched it there about a year and a half ago, and I watched all three of them. And the first one is legitimately a great film.
I might try it again.
Great film.
Well, that's the only reason why I put it up. The new one, it's Beverly Hills 4. Axel is the name of it.
Just
Axel F, I think.
Yeah. They just call it Axel.
That's the name of the fourth one. It's out on the 3rd of July, which will be next Wednesday. But Netflix does have 1, 2, and 3. So if you decide that you don't want to watch GA over the weekend, or you're not interested in the Euros, put yourself under your duvet and watch. Take the weekend, go under your duvet and watch Beverly Hills Cop 1, 2, and 3, and you'll definitely enjoy at least some of them, because they just were very
fun.
Michael Letty, thank you so much as always. It's lovely having you up. And Fionnuala, as always, as well. Thank you so much for that. If you are heading down to Dublin for weather, whether it's football or concerts or whatever it is, leave yourself plenty of time and have a fantastic weekend. And if, like me, you're going to stay at home and just watch TV, enjoy that too. We're going to leave you with the winner of our little short poll. We're going to say goodbye to you online, by the way, because of copyright issues. We'll chat to you on Monday. Have a great one. But for those of you in Radio Land, here is Taylor Swift. For all the Swifties, have a fantastic, fun weekend, everybody.